So, yeah, okay, so that's the ocean microbiome. I'm going to go into my Gulf of Maine talk, but maybe I should take a breath and just see if anyone has questions about the microbiome. Yeah.
Well, I don't have, about Bigelow, Alaska.
Yeah.
How long has that been there?
Bigelow is about 40 years old. We just had our 40th anniversary a couple of years ago. For most of that time, it was at the same site as DMR in Booth Bay, though it has been a separate entity all along. And they managed, basically the story is, the founder, whose name is Charlie Yench, was working down at Woods Hole in Massachusetts, decided, I think it had something to do with the bureaucracy there, but he wanted to make a break and start his own lab, so he put all his equipment in a boat, and he steamed up to Booth Bay. And the state had these old buildings that they were going to shut down, and he somehow struck an agreement to have I think it was like $1 a year to rent these buildings. I might not have that number. Maybe it was $1 a month, something like that. And that agreement stayed for 30-some-odd years. After 30 years, the buildings were really run down. And just before I started there, they raised a bunch of funds to build a new facility in East Booth Bay. So now there's this new, beautiful building, which you ought to check out if you're ever down there. And that has been there, so I've been there for 3 years, and they built that about 2 years before I started, so it's been there for about 5 years. Yeah.
In that library, does it include protozoa, or is it all green algae?
Yep, there's bacteria, phytoplankton, there are some protozoans there, yeah.
How large is the cell that you showed us in the image?
It's about the size of your pinky fingernail, which is huge in the world of the ocean microbiome. And that cell will eat everything from the diatoms, which are they're the large ones. The first one I showed with the glass casing, which can be as large as sort of the head of a pin. And the cells will eat everything down to bacteria, which are could be a couple of orders of magnitude smaller than that. So you think about the equivalent size scale, it would be like something on land eating everything from the size of a mouse to a horse. Which is kind of like human, actually. Never thought about it that way, but we don't swallow them whole. The South will just vacuum them up. Yeah.
Are there different species of South, or is it just one?
There's a bunch of different species. It's not even a genus. It's sort of higher up than that.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
I can Google that.
So it goes like species. Species would be like human, genus. So species, then genus, then family. And south is one or two steps higher than that. So there are a whole bunch of different families and genus and species of souths. And they're amazing animals. They live in these colonies. That's one individual. And if you go back, what I didn't really capture well, but you can kind of see, this is why I'm kind of down on this image, is because I didn't really get this. This is a chain of clones that it's sort of birthing off. And this animal alternates generations between sexual reproduction and asexual reproduction. And so it forms these colonies of clones, and they share blood with each other, and they sort of move around by pumping, and then the alternate generations will have sexual reproduction, and then the next generation will be these clones again. Anyway, just this, like, once you start looking under the microscope, there are all of these like alien life forms. You know, I think about it like exploring a different planet, and this is just one of many examples of just these alien kind of lifestyles that the animals live. Yeah.
So what's a generation?
How long does it last?
Could
be as fast as a day or two. These are really quickly reproducing animals. They're one of the few animals that can reproduce as quickly as phytoplankton grows, which is, just this really rapid, you have eutrophication in, just a couple of days can cover a day, that sort of thing. Yeah.
How vulnerable are these microbiota to the types of pollution that we put in the water?
It would be really hard to make a blanket statement. There's thousands and thousands of species. They all respond differently to different things. Some of them there are microbes that help sort of digest the oil from spills, and that's a really active area
of research, especially since the Deep Horizon spill. You know, there's been a lot of effort in figuring out, like, how can microbes essentially help break down those oils. So some of the pollution, you know, there are microbes that can live on just about anything. They live at the hydrothermal vents at the bottom of the ocean where it's many hundreds of degrees all the time. They can live in anoxic environments where there's no oxygen. You know, they can live at the bottom of the ice caps where it's been cut off from the atmosphere for eons. Within the ice, there's just all kinds of... They can live in basically any environment. And that's why, when NASA goes looking for signs of life on what we think of as uninhabitable planets, they think that there's a possibility that there's life in these places, because in the most extreme environments that there are on Earth, we find microbes living.